Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shirman Dafyom. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We are now in the final Mishnah of the first chapter of Masechet Bava Kama, and indeed this will be the final podcast for the first chapter. We're on Daf Tet Vav Amud Bet, near the bottom of the Amud. Chamisha Tamin v'chamisha Mu'adin. There are five that are Tam, there are five that are Mu'ad. How this exactly plays out will be subject to some dispute in the Gemara. Habehema ina mu'adet lo digach, lo digof, li dichoch, lo lebrotz, lo livot. So these are all of the subsets of Karen we saw earlier. An animal is not mu'ad. We do not assume it to be one that will gore, will push, will bite, will jump, or will kick. Hashen mu'adet lo chol tara'uila. The tooth is mu'ad to eat that which will it is fit for it. And the foot will inevitably trample that which is in its way. Veshor ha-mu'ad, right, a shor who's already been attested to it as far as its violent tendencies. Veshor mazik v'shut ha-nizak, if a shor does damage in the shut ha-nizak, we'll have to see how that plays out within the context of the machlok of Tarfon Rabbi and Rabbanan. Veha-adam. Parenthetically, ha-ze'ev, ha-hariv, ha-dov, ha-namer, ha-bardales, veha-nachash. These six animals, a wolf, Ari is a lion, a dove is a bear, a namer is a tiger, a bardalais is a cheetah, and a nachash is a snake, a re'ilu mu'adin. These are all mu'ad. Elazar omer, bizman shem b'nei tarbut enan mu'adin. If they're domesticated, they're not. V'anachash mu'ad le'olam. And this seems to be Rabbi Elazar's concession that a snake is always mu'ad. Okay, let's take a look at the authorship of this Mishnah. Miliktania Shein Mu'adet Lechol, since we mentioned that Shein is Mu'ad. Michlal B'chatzer HaNizak Azkinan. So that means that the entire context of the Mishnah must be in the Chatzer HaNizak, because remember, Shein is exempt in Rishut HaRabim. Uktani B'ma'inim Mu'adet L'Shalem Kulei. And within the context of this Mishnah, the presentation was that an animal is not mu'ad for violence. In other words, you don't pay full for violence. Now, whose opinion would it be that has a Karen paying half nezek even b'shut anizak? Mani rabbanon hi. Now, b'shuna Karen b'chatz anizak chatzin nezek u'mnushalim. And this is an opinion we've already seen twice. Good. So we established that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbanon and not by Rabbi Tarfon. Ema Seifa, but look further down into the Mishnah. We list Shor HaMuad, Shor HaMazik, Bershut HaNizak. And once an animal does damage in Bershut HaNizak, and we have to assume it's a Tam, because it said Shor HaMuad and Shor HaMazik, Bershut HaNizak, V'adam, Atan Rabbi Tarfon. It sounds like Rabbi Tarfon, because that's listed among the things that are Muad, meaning that pay full. And what did Rabbi Tarfon say? Damar, Mishuna Karen, Mechatzar Nizak, Nezak Shalim, Hud Mishalim. Because Rabbi Tarfon's opinion is that Karen pays full damages, even the first time out, if it's in Bershut HaNizak. The only time that you have, the only place where there's a distinction between Tam and Muad as far as amount of payment goes is in Rishut HaRabim, according to Rabbi Tarfon. So now we have some confusion. Is our Mishnah authored by Rabbanan, as evidenced by the fact that we said that Bershut HaNizak, an animal's not Mu'ad, or is it authored by Rabbi Tarfon, or somebody of the school of Rabbi Tarfon, who says that Shor HaMazik Bershut HaNizak always pays full? Reish Rabbanon say for Rabbi Tarfon? So the answer is in. Damar Leish Shmuel Rav Yehuda Shinina Shvok Matnitin V'Uto Batroi. This is the third time we've seen this statement. Don't worry about the meaning of the Mishnah. Follow me to my understanding explanation of the Braita. Of the Mishnah, Reish Rabbanon v'Sefer Bitarfon. The first part is Rabbanon, the second part is Bitarfon, and indeed it's a mixed piece. That's Shmuel. Rabbi Elazar mishmei de Rav Amar, so now Rav had a different take. He said, Kula Bitarfon, the entire Mishnah is Bitarfon. But now we have to read it carefully. Reisha, the difficulty for Bitarfon is going to be the Reisha, because because in the Reisha we listed that an animal is not considered mu'ad, and the context, of course, we thought was Rishut HaNizak. So the answer is, b'chatzem yuchedet leperot l'achad mehenu lezeh lezeh l'shvarim. It's talking about a situation where they have a chatzer, where only one person has the right to put his perot out, but they're both allowed to have their shvarim go there. Therefore, l'gabe shein havi l'chatzer nizak. And this we saw a little bit earlier. And therefore, in the context of Shein, we're going to call this Rishut Chatzer Nizak. And therefore, everybody will agree that Shein pays full. Well, the Gabi Karen, but in the context of Karen, have you Rishut Arabim? in the context of Karen, since they both have the rights to have the Shvarim go there, it's called Reshut Rabim, and Rabbi Tarfon would agree, in Reshut Rabim, you only pay half Nezek. Amar Rav Kahana, Amrita L'Shmata Kami to Rav Zvid Min Hardea. So I reported Rav's solution to Rav Zvid, V'Amarli, and he said back, Mi Matzit Mokman Lakulak Rabbi Tarfon, you can't explain that our Mishnah is entirely Rabbi Tarfon, because after all, Haktani Hashen Mu'adat L'Chol Tarawila, the list of the Muadim said that the tooth will eat that which is fit for it, meaning straw, hay, grass, but not vessels, not dirt, not things that are not fit for it. Rawila in, Shein Rawila lo. For every Tarfon, Amar, Mishunah Karen V'chatzai Nizak, Nezak Shalim Shalim. In other words, what Rabbi Tarfon's opinion, the way we're understanding it, and we'll see it presented fully in the second parak, is that anytime an animal does something that is unusual, which is the model, of course, is a tam with the Karen, but if it does it, Reshut HaNizak has to pay full. And therefore, when we said that Hashen is Mu'ad L'chol Tara'uila, according to Tarfon, it should be just Hashen Mu'ad L'chol, meaning anything it eats, whether it's Ra'ui or not Ra'ui, if it's B'chatzer and Nizak has to pay full. Therefore, our Mishnah cannot be Rabbi Tarfon. Liolam Rabbananhi. Really, our entire Mishnah is Rabbanan. The Mishnah is deficient. Here's how it should read. Chamisha tamim hein, there's five tamim and five muadim. But plug in there, chamisha tamim hein, meaning the pushing and kicking, etc. Vimhu'adu chamishtan muadin. But if it develops a pattern, then all five of them are called muad. V'shen v'regel muadim mitchilatan. Shen and regel are always muad. V'chan ha'datan b'chatzer nizak. And where is that? B'chatzer nizak. In other words, the first opening piece of Tom is talking about Reshut HaRabim. And there, an animal is considered to be, and truth is, Reshut HaRabim or Reshut HaNizak, and the animal is considered to be Tom until it proves its violent tendencies in one of those areas, then it becomes Muad. Shen and Regal are always Muad, but only in Reshut HaNizak. Matkif LaRavina, so Ravina turns around and challenges Rav Zvid's explanation, which made the whole thing be Karabanan. He agrees it's Rabbanan, but he says the formulation, that which we filled in of the deficiency, doesn't work for the following reason. Hak tani lekaman, in the second parak, the Mishnah says, Shor hamazik reshut hanizak ketzad, and it was the second parak, which is extrapolating on the first parak, and says, when the first parak said, Shor hamazik reshut hanizak, what does that mean? So now, if you agree that in our Mishnah, we're talking about Shor hamazik reshut hanizak, then, Mishum Hachik Tani Ketzad, then I understand the Ketzad, because saying that's what we said in the first parak, now I'll explain it. If you say that our parak's not talking about Shor HaMazik B'Reshut HaNizak, it's talking about B'Reshut HaRabim, then my Ketzad, what's the Ketzad? It's a disconnect, it's a zigzag here. Ela Amar Ravina, so Ravina says, essentially we have to read our Mishnah as referring to B'Reshut HaNizak, that's fine. Ela Amar Ravina Chasur Mechzor HaKitani, but he says it could still be Rabbanit. Why? Chamisha Tamim Hein, there are five that are Tam. Again, the same five that we said. Kicking and biting, etc. Mu'adu Chamishtan Mu'adin, if there's testimony that they have those tendencies, then they're Mu'ad. V'shein V'regel Mu'adin Mitchilatan, Shein V'regel Mu'ad from the get-go. V'zehu Shor HaMu'ad. And now we have Shor HaMu'ad, meaning the five Tamim, if they develop a tendencies, plus Shein V'regel from the get-go, for Shor HaMazik V'Reshut HaNizak, and as far as that goes, Machloket Rabbi Tarfon Rabbanan. That's a Machloket. V'yesh Mu'adim Achrim Kayotze Ve'ilu. And parenthetically, there are other animals that are Mu'ad, just like a Shor Mu'ad, and just like Shein and Regel, where it fits, which are Ze'ev, Ari, Dov, Bar-Leis, V'Namer, V'Nachash. The rest of the animals on the list. So that's the way Ravina reconstructs our Mishnah. So we effectively have two broad choices to make. Choice number one is to read the Mishnah very straight up without any adding anything in, and then you must admit that part of the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Tarfon, part by Rabbanan, or shall we say the author of the Mishnah mixed the two. The other way to read it is to say that there's something fundamental missing in the Mishnah, which once it's added in and, shall we say, modifies the way we read the Mishnah, then it could all be Rabbanan. Tanya Namihachi, we have a braita that supports Ravina's take. Chamisha tamim hein ve'im hu'adu chamishtan mu'adin v'shen v'regu mu'adim mitchilatan v'zeo shor mu'ad v'shor mazik v'shut hanizak v'chok l'vitar from the Rabbanan v'yish mu'adim achirim kayutza be'ilu hazei roiva do'ov v'namer v'abar d'leis v'nachash. So the braita exactly ends up reading the way that Ravina reread our Mishnah. Now, Ika de Ramula Mirma. Some people read that Ravina's comment was not an explanation of the Mishnah, but that it was a response to a presented contradiction. Tnan chamisha tamim chamish muadim. The Mishnah says there's five tamim and five muadim. V'tuleika, that's it. V'aika zayv abriv adavavo dov anamer v'abadleitz v'anachash. There's six other animals that are always muadim, besides the shor hamua and shor hamazik v'shut anizak, etc. Umeshani, what was the answer? Ravina chasoy mechasor afachik tani. This is how it should read. Chamisha tamim hein. There are five that are tam. V'muadu chamishtan muadin. If there is testimony about the mikam muad. Shein reg muadim nechlatan. Shein reg from the gitgar muad. V'zeo shor muad. That's the category called shor muad. Shor mazik b'shut anizak. V'choket reitar from Rabbanan. That we're not going to touch because that's a machloket. V'yesh muadin achim keyotze be'elu azev ariv adav adov anamer v'abar doles v'nachash. And okay, so in other words, the rereading of the Mishnah is either a way to interpret it so that the entire thing is Rabbanan, or, and then the piece about Shor Mazik B'Shut HaNizak is left as sort of agree to disagree. Now that's Rabbanan Rabbi Tarfon. Or Rabbi Ravina's reread of the Mishnah was a way of resolving an apparent contradiction between the opening presentation, Chamisha Tam and Chamisha Muadim, against what we know that there are other animals that are Muad. Okay, in the list of the Tamim, it said that an animal is not considered Muad, lirbots, to jump on top of things. Rabbi Lazar had an interpretation of this, and there are three different ways to read this interpretation. Here we go. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Lo Shanu Ela Pachim Gdolim. This refers to big vessels. These little vessels that'll jump on them. So now we have support for that, because as Abayim Amuad at Lahalech Kedarka, an animal will walk as it normally walks. It'll break and kind of mash down a person who gets in the way. If it's a big enough animal, and an animal and kelim. So you see here that small kelim it normally tramples. So Dilma Minatzad, no, that Braita may not support it. That Braita may be referring to not trampling, stepping on top of it, but when it walks next to it and steps on inadvertently, really like a classic regal. Now Ikadamri, some people read it differently. Amar Belazar Lotema Pachim Gdolim Hudalav Orche, don't think that it's only big vessels that it's considered Tom, because that's unusual. Pachim Tanim Orche, who you might think that small vessels are normal for it to trample. Even small vessels, it doesn't normally trample. And then the thing that we previously had as support now becomes a challenge. Rabbi Lazar's answer was, no, that may be referring not to deliberately stomping on top of it, but walking and then it's nearby on the side and hits it and smashes it, just inadvertent. Now, Ika de Ramula Mirma. In other words, the issue here really is whether trampling the vessels is a form of regular form of Karen. Because the Mishnah's presentation is the form of Karen. It's deliberate and being mazik. And so now Rabbi Lazar's last answer in this second version was, no, as a tolda of regel, when it walks and inadvertently steps on this thing, of course it's muad. But to deliberately jump on it, which is tolda of Karen, that it won't do even with a small vessel. Now, Ika de Ramula Mirma, some people brought it as a contradiction. Tanan lo lir boats, the Mishnah says that jumping on Kelim is Tam, meaning that we don't assume it. Vatanya Maichad Adam Vatabavata Kelim, and then we have that bright that we've brought twice already, now a third time. It says an animal will typically mash these things up. Amar Belazar lo kasha, kan pachim gdolim, kan pachim tanim. And now we avoided min hatzad. Rabbi Lazar simply resolved it by saying that our Mishnah is referring to large vessels, which it won't typically jump on. The Braita that says that it will typically jump on is talking about small vessels. Okay, the end of the Mishnah listed the six animals that are always muad, hazeh, vari, etc. My bardeles. So the word bardeles that we know to be a cheetah, at least that's the way Felix renders it, is a word that the Amoraim did not know. They didn't know what it meant. Amar Yehuda Nafraza. So then Rav Yehuda's statement of Nafraza wasn't understood two generations later. My Nafraza, Amar Yosef Afa. So he said it was an Afa. Now, Meitave, Rav Meir Omer, Af HaTzavua. Tzavua is some sort of a hyena. Rav Belazar Omer, Af HaNachash. We're going to get back to that, about also the Nachash being included. Ve'amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Tzavua zu Afa. He says that an Afa is a hyena. So, lo kasha, kan mitzavua zachar, kan mitzavua nekeva. They say that one is referring to a male tzavua, one is referring to a female tzavua. The Tanya tzavua zachar, this is sort of a strange bit of zoology, a male hyena, la'achar sheva shanim nasa atalef, becomes a bat. Atalef, la'achar sheva shanim nasa arpad. After 7 years, it becomes some sort of another animal. Arpad, la'achar sheva shanim nasa kimosh, kimosh la'achar sheva shanim nasa choach, choach la'achar sheva shanim nasa shade. Ultimately, after 35 years, it becomes, it dies and morphs into something else, ultimately it becomes sort of some sort of a demon. Now, shidrosh al adam, what happens to a person's spinal cord? Lachar sheva shanim, meaning 7 years after he dies, nasa nachash, it becomes a snake. Vanmili lo karba modim, and that's only if the person never bowed during modim. If he did, then he doesn't have that punishment, and his spine is spared. Okay, amar mar, remeir omer afat savua. Remeir said also the hyena, velozer mer afa nachash. Now, v'hanan tan rebelozer mer bizman shehin b'nei tabut enan muadim anachash muad leolam. Rabbi Lazar could not have been adding Nachash to the list because Rabbi Lazar said that Nachash is stronger than the rest of the list. Everything else is really tam if it's domesticated, but not Nachash. So how could Rabbi Lazar in that bright to say Afa Nachash? The answer is Tani Nachash. Don't read Afa Nachash. That's why on the handout, I crossed out the word also. It's not also a snake. He said Nachash. That's the super muad. Muad, no matter even if you domesticated. Now, Amar Shmuel, Ari Bershut HaRabim, let's say a lion out in the public area, Daras V'achal, if it tramples something and rips some meat off of it, of another animal, Patur, then you're Patur. Why? Because that's a form of shame. That's something a lion will always do. And Bershut HaRabim, Shane is Patur. Taraf V'achal, but if on the other hand it killed the animal and then ate it, Chayav, because that's unusual, that's Karen. And by the way, it'd be Chayav Chazinetz, Chazinezek. Daras v'achal patur, why kevan de'urche l'midras, havi le'kemosh achla perot v'irakot. Why is it patur if it just rips a limb off an animal while it's alive? Because that's what it normally does, and that's like another animal eating food or whatever. L'shem reshut rabim patur. Taraf lav urchehu, but to kill the animal first, that's not what a lion usually does. Now, the name of the treif lav urchehu, you're going to tell me that killing the animal first is not its normal way. V'haktim, we have this pasuk in Nachum, pasuk number one on the page. Arye toref b'dei gurotav. Alright? And right now we'll read it that the lion rips enough for its young. So the answer is bishvil gurotav. Okay? It doesn't rip it and, it doesn't rip it and kill it deliberately, but what it does is it, and you see that it does it for its young, it's a bedigurotav, meaning dailigurotav, it rips up enough to feed its young. And then the next, pasuk, the next passage is, umachanek lilvuotav, and it chokes for its leviah, for its wives. So bichvilavotav, umale teref chorav, and he fills up the ripped part of the animal, the dead animal, it fills up its holes, right? And the rest of it is umonatav trefat. It fills up its dwelling place with this trefat. So the answer is it's not feeding the animal, it's putting it away for the animal. And as it'll kill, but it'll kill and then put stuff away, but not to kill and eat on the spot. So in other words, an animal, a lion, we're saying, will not typically kill an animal and then sit there and feast off of it. It will kill an animal and then put stuff away for its animal, for its young and for its wives, etc., for later. Okay. V'atanya v'chen chaya shenichasa l'chatzer anizak. We have another challenge to Shmuel. It says that if a chaya, if a wild animal, goes into the backyard of the nizak, tarfa be'ma v'achla basar, if it ripped up and killed an animal and ate, v'shalim nezak shalim, you have to pay full. And we assume this is even according to Rabbanon. Hachamayaskinan shetarfala haniach. It killed to leave the animal there. Hi, achlak tani, but it says it ate it. Kshenimachave achla, change its mind, it ate. Menayadin, how do we know? We come and we see an animal and the lion's eating it. How do we know that it first killed it to kill the defense or for some reason and then decided to eat it? If you had to Shmuel namidil mahachihu, maybe Shmuel's halacha was also a case like that. So, Nachamayitzchak litzdading tani. The answer is, that Breita about the Chayah should be read as a sort of split statement. Shetarfa laniach, if it killed in order just to kill, O darsam v'achlaut, ripped a limb off to eat, mishalom nezek shalom, then it pays full. Ravina Marki Kamar Shmuel, what was Shmuel talking about? Be'ari tarbut, he's talking about a domesticated lion. And therefore, if it's tarfa, that's unusual. V'alibet Rabbi Lazar, it follows Rabbi Lazar. In the Mishnah, da'amar lav orche, who said, except for the snake, a domesticated animal really is considered tam. Yachar filu darsa nami lichayiv. So if that's the case, then even if it rips off a limb off the animal to eat it, you should be chayiv chatzinezek, because again, that's Karen now. Ela Ravina lava Shmuel itmar. Ravina's statement was not a comment on Shmuel. Ela matnita, kihani matnita, it was a statement on our Mishnah. Kitana matnita bari tarbut. Sorry, on the Braita about the chaya. When, what was that context? That was, the context was a domesticated animal. Falud rav lazar rav orche. So yachi chatzin nezek bali shlumi. If that's the case, it should pay half nezek, because it's a tam. Yachi my high diktani la gabe told it a shane. The answer is da ayyad. The answer is that it already became a muad. But if it became a muad, then that means this is Karen. Yachi my high diktani la gabe told it a shane. Gabe told it a Karen by the mitne. Then this should have been learned as a subset of Karen, not as a subset of Shane, and evidently that Breita was taught in the context of Shane. The answer is Kashi. You're right. That Breita is very difficult when interpreted that way. Okay, the last piece of Mishnah Dalid, Mabin Tam Lemuah, this we've seen several times, Allah Shatam Hashalim Chatzin Ezim Gufo, a Tam pays, Tam pays half Nezek, and it pays from the body of the Mazik. And Muad Mishalim Nezek Shalim Min Aliyah. The Muad has to pay full Nezek, and it pays from the best of lands. Okay, the rest of our piece here is mainly Agadic. My Aliyah, what is Aliyah? Rabbi Elazar Mu'leshim Chasav, your best property. And this we've already seen. V'chein hu Omer, and now we have a pasuk in Divrei Hamim, which talks about Chizkiyahu's burial. Shkav Chizkiyahu Mavotavik V'ruhu B'ma'ale Kivrei V'nei David. Ma'ale Kivrei V'nei David could be interpreted two ways. One is the highest up, or the best of it. Okay, remember Lazar Ma'ale, meaning Eitzim Ulim Shemishpacha. So Rabbi Lazar says that it means they put him in the grave next to the most honored people in the family. Who's that? Davidu Shlomo. Alright, and then we see earlier in the context of, in the context of the burial of Asa, another righteous king, David, the kever that he had dug out, remember in a cave, so that's how they buried him. This is Asa. Now, what does that mean? Rabbi Elazar Omer, zini, different kinds. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, besamim shekol miriach behen bali de zima. Spices that smelled so good that they would lead you to licentiousness. All right, so we now, when we're talking about the context of the digging, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Yodchet which says ki charu shuchal lachdenu fachim tamnu l'raglai. They've dug a pit to trap me and laid traps for my feet. Rabbi Elazar Omer, what's that? Shechashdu mizona. Saying that they suspected him, you know, this is the Nevi'ah Sheker, they suspected him of having relations with the Zonah. Shmuel Nachmani Amar Shechashdu Meshadish, that they suspected him or they accused him of having relations with an Eshadish, with a married woman. Bishlam Alamanda Amar Shechashdu Mezonah, the first opinion, I get the connection in the text. Hayirti ki shucha amuka Zonah, that a Zonah is like a deep pit you may fall into. So I understand the connection with the Pasuk. Alamanda Amar Shechashdu Meshadish, where'd they get that? From my shucha. Why not? And Eshadish is also, having a relationship with Eshadish is also a form of Znut. So now, Bishlam Alamandam Arg Chashchashdum Eshadish, I understand the Eshadish accusation. Yirmiyahu says, you, God, you know how they're all planning to try to kill me. Because after all, that's a Chiyuv Mitah. Lamandam Arg Chashchashdum Zonah, my Lamavet. What's the death here? There's no death penalty for having relations with the Zonah. It's just lowly. Shishtichu levertit. The answer is that they ended up throwing him into the pit, the famous pit that Yirmiyahu was thrown into. Darsh Rava. So now Rava has a drasha about peace in Sefer Yirmiyahu in the same parak. On the same pasuk, Yu muchshalim lefanecha ve'etapecha aseh bahem. Right? So And he says, "Yu mukshalim lefanecha beit abcha sevahem." So they should fall before you. This is what Yirmiyahu is saying about his enemies. Amar Yirmiyahu lefanei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what he said. Ribono shel Olam, afilu b'sha'a she'osin staka, even when they do something good, hachshilem b'vnei adam she'enan mehuganim, have them interact with people who are inappropriate, kedei shelo yekablu alein sachar. In other words, even when they want to give staka, these bad people, and they want to do something good, have people come before them who don't really deserve staka, so they won't get any reward. They'll give them money, but it's not staka. We now turn back to the description of Chizkiyahu's burial that was the starting point of this discussion in order to define what the word Aliyah meant, that he was buried b'ma'alei kivrei b'nei David. Returning to that pasuk, we see v'chavod asu lo b'moto. They gave him great honor in his death. What does that mean? Ramed shoshivu yeshiva al kivro. This means that they literally sat a session of study at his kever, at his gravesite. Now, pligi b'rab natan v'rabbanan, they disagreed about how long this study session continued on his gravesite. Chadamar shlosha, one of them said for 3 days. Chadamar shiva, the other said for 7 days. V'amri la shloshim, some people say that it lasted for the full 30 days of mourning, which public mourning, customary for the king. Tanu Rabbanu, Chavod Asu Lo Moto, further brighta on this statement about Chizkiyahu, Zeh Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, Shatzu Lefanav Shloshim V'Shisha Elef Chalutzei Katev, 36,000 pallbearers, as it were, went out to Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Rabbi Nechemi, V'lo Lefnei Achav Asu Kein, even Achav got that. El Sheinichu Sefer Torah Mitato, you know what the great Kavod was? When he died, they put a Sefer Torah on his bier, V'amru, Kiyem Zeh Mash Katu Bazeh. This one, the dead one, fulfilled everything that was written in here. He said, no, we didn't do that now for Talmud Chacham. So the answer is, Afuke mafkinan, anuchi lo manchinan. We bring a Sefer Torah, but we don't put it on top. So that was greater for Chizkiyahu. You know what? Maybe we even put it down also. Kiyem lo minim. We don't make that statement. He fulfilled everything that was in there. Amarava Barbachana, Havi Azilna Bahadei, the Rav Yochanan, the Mishal Shmaita. I went to Rav Yochanan to ask him Shmuel, to ask him Halacha. When he was going to the bathroom and I was asking him a question, he wouldn't answer until he'd washed his hands, then put on his tefillin, again, that he'd taken off to go to the bathroom, and say the bracha. And then he answered, you know what, even we also say, not only do we put the Sefer Torah on the bed, we also say, kiyem zemash katuv sham. Right? But limeid lo amrin, what we don't say is that he taught. That's something he did for Chizkiyahu. Not only did he fulfilled everything in here, he taught everything was in here. V'yamar mar gadol limud Torah shal limud mevili de maaseh. But we say that the greatness of learning is in that it leads to maaseh. So kiyem is greater. So lokash halimigmar halagmure. To study, you're right. That's great because it leads to action. But to teach, that's even greater than action. So to say that Chizkiyahu taught everything that was in here is a greater statement than what we say for Talmid Chachamim. He fulfilled everything. And this is beautiful how the Perek ends, or near the end, with a pasuk that we use at the very beginning to try to solve Shilachet Bi'iro means, and it's a reference to Regel. Happy are you who plant on every kind of water. What's the interpretation of this pasuk? Anyone who involves himself in the study of Torah and in gemilut chasadim, in acts of kindness, will end up getting the nachala of two tribes, the line of two tribes. Ashrechem zorei. Happy those of you who plant, and it's in the plural. Veins real tztaka. Planting is referenced to tztaka. Shneimar ziru lachem litztaka v'kitzu lufi chesed. Pasuk in Hosea. In my Torah, Mayim is Torah. Shnemar hoy kol tzamelech ulamayim. So therefore, Zorei al kol Mayim means those who do tzedakah and Torah. V'zochen al chanat shnei shvatim, which two tribes does he inherit? Zochel lechila ki Yosef. He gets like a canopy, like Yosef. Tichtiv ben parat Yosef, ben parat aleayin, banot sada aleishur. The girls walked up to see him. They walked up on the wall. V'zochel anachalat Yisachar. And he also gains me Yisachar, Dichtiv Yisachar, Chamor, Garem. And the association here is that the text in Yeshayahu said that Ashrechem Zorei al Kol Mayim Mishalchei regel hashor v'hachamor. So the shor is Yosef, and they get the nachal of Yosef, and the chamor is Yisachar. And the drush on it is that Yosef has his canopy, and that and Yisachar, that his territory is very, very wealthy, very rich land. Ita Amri, some will say, even Oivav no fling lefanav ki Yosef. His enemies fall in front of him like Yosef. Dichtiv, behem amin agach echtav se'aretz, that the b'chor shoro of Yosef gores its enemies. V'zochel levinaki Yisachar, and he gains understanding like Yisachar. Dichtiv, v'nei Yisachar yodei bina leitin ladat ma yeyase Yisrael. The children of Yisachar are the ones who study, they understand, they have deep understanding of the times, whether that means astronomy or astrology or history or their general understanding of Torah, to know what will happen to Yisrael. And therefore, the association, Maya Say Yisrael, the association with Shor and Chamor either leads to gaining territory that is rich as Yosef and Yisachar's territory, or gaining the characteristics of those people, for Yosef, whose enemies fell before him, and Yisachar, who gained great wisdom and understanding. Hadran alach arba avot, and Mirtz Hashem in the next podcast, we will pick up with the beginning of Perak Shani, Ketzad HaRegel. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.